Do it.
Tyranny, FBI, ADL, all the various alphabet soup agencies of the government, most of whom were created by federal dictator Rosenfeld, the Judeo-commie par excellence, traitor par excellence. He never refused to do anything the Judeo-Zionist communists asked him to do. He was their total puppet. And he ruined the U.S. Constitution, and nobody seemed to do anything about it.
Well, okay. this last wake-up call repeat that just played a minute ago.
Okay.
Boy, I've got some hot emails off of that one. It's
all right.
Highly upset a bunch of people.
Okay.
And I'm sorry about their bad luck, but Mr. Kim and I were talking about that, while it was playing, we were joking back and forth.
Right. What's that song?
These are harsh times, and we had the thing. You know, when you first started years ago on Talkshoe, the shows were not as vehement. They were a little more laid back than what they are now, but what I said in this latest sermon is we don't have the time
to be nice
left. We don't have the time left to be nice.
No more Mr. Nice Guy.
They're killing our people. And we're gonna read here in Josephus today about Herod and all the people that he killed. And we have a bunch of Herods out there today. Everybody thinks Trump is going to be
a hero,
a great savior.
Right.
Trump has recognized Israel. He's recognized her capital.
As Jerusalem, right, yeah.
He's pulling out of Syria, supposedly.
Well, that's a good thing. We don't need to be the world's police force. It's only the Jews who expect us to be that. But, people think that our president is going to change the world. No, not as long as the Jews run the world and cause all this chaos.
They need to put those troops that they bring home down on that southern border.
That's right. There you go. That's what they need to do. Right. Well, here, let me,
All those smoke and mirrors about this wall business.
Shut it down. Shut the government down.
It's all deception to get your eyes off of what they're doing underneath
the radar, right?
Now, those Noah Hyde laws
that's
that I had to show on, they were to be voted. An addition to them was to be voted in this session. Do we have any record of what they voted on? See, they do all that stuff secretly.
Right.
Closed-door sessions. When it's supposed to be transparent and open to the American people.
That's right. That's right.
So, you remember that song, Killing Me Softly?
Yeah, right.
Okay, well... Yeah. That's what they're doing. They're killing us softly.
With fake news.
they're killing us softly and quietly.
Right. Right. And we're supposed to be quiet about it, right? And we're supposed to take
it? Well, that's being nice.
Right.
continuing on the nice theme.
Yes.
Well,
Yasha wasn't nice.
Loaded up. This is one of the biggest we've had because we're back live every week now, and the, the words got out, and people are hot to trot to hear Bloodlines. But we're watching this circus that they're doing in Washington. And what does the government actually do for the people? Take our money and oppress us, tell us what we're not allowed to say, and if we say it, they lock us up. Well, they're doing the same thing over in Britain, and things are blowing up over there. People are taken to the streets. They've got Antifa over here, and the white boys are so sick of Antifa. I mean, they're pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing, and it's going to blow up. You know, oh, where they got the guns and they got troops, and I'll move this in and move that. They don't have enough troops to handle the pissed off white boys.
And the pistols. And their pistols, right?
And whatever else they got. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. They don't have a clue what's coming when all the hillbillies get out of the woodwork.
Oh, man. Oh, man. It reminds me of that song, Pushing Too Hard.
I'm an educated hillbilly, but I'm still a hillbilly, and I'll do you in a heartbeat.
Hillbilly at heart, right? Yeah, yeah.
I will do you in a heartbeat.
Well, I think we talked about this a little bit on Andy's show Friday morning about, you know, white people are being slaughtered everywhere, and they've been nice. White people have been too nice because the enemy does not consider our good intentions and our mild manners to be something worthy of respect. They think it's weakness on our part. Okay. That's the nature of the enemy. And stop believing that the non-white people of the world are as nice and kindly and disposed as we are. They are not.
They're animals.
Right.
A lot of these Somalis and these other, they're animals.
That's right. Absolute animals.
Vicious animals. And they mob up. But if you get an equal-sized mob of white boys, they're going to run like hell.
Yes, they will. Yes, they will. Even one white guy against 20 blacks. You know, if you act bravely, they will run. I mean,
when they want a bunch of them come out of the alley down here.
Yeah, you attack one. They say, "Oh no, I'm next. I'm out of here."
It was about a year and a half ago in the summer, and I was walking down to Marathon Station to get a Dr. Pepper or whatever. Can't remember, but they come out of the alleyway on me.
Uh-huh.
And I laid them out, all four of them.
Right.
I left them bleeding on the sidewalk. And after that, I got a rep in the neighborhood for being an absolute I'm a berserker, man.
Is that one of those nice white guys? He's a Viking, right?
Well,
the Viking spirit.
Just, you know, I carry that carved hickory cane, and you've seen me do the kata with the cane where I'm whirling the thing around.
Yeah,
and
right. Yeah.
And I opened up a whole can of whoop ass on those four. And it's everybody in this neighborhood gives me a wide berth because.
Yeah, you got a rep.
I don't
you got a rep.
I mean, I don't talk first. I just go into kill mode. And it's on.
Yeah.
And there ain't no talking. You threaten me, it's on. Let's see what you got. And. Because I'm old school. I come from a different time, and I was raised like that.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
You know, my daddy fought in World War II.
Self-defense. Be prepared. Yeah.
And, you know, I was in the Boy Scouts, and then I got in with all this other stuff, and being with the biker groups and all that. I mean, I was...
Well, actually, Karen Smith, you know, because she was... our guest Friday morning on Yahweh's Signs of the End Times.
She's just a lovely lady.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But man.
She was recounting an interview this liberal white woman did who actually supported the 1994 black ANC regime, right? And so the guy she's interviewing says, well, we're just going to kill all white people. And she says,
yeah.
Including me? I'm white. And he says, well, yeah. But I'm a liberal. I supported you guys. So?
So what? You're white.
Yeah, you're white. Okay. Yeah. This is the attitude of non-whites toward white people.
It's like this, this deal with Tex Mars, the good Jews. What good Jews?
Yeah. Yeah, right.
They got satanic DNA.
Are there any
What's
Jews
the
helping
Bible
him?
Say that Yahweh's going to do to all those with the satanic DNA?
Yeah,
you
got to burn them. Burn them. That's
it. What's Yahweh have to say about it? And then go take that as your clue on what your behavior is supposed to be.
Yeah.
You are my battle axe and instruments of war.
So here we have this black leader.
Okay, well, what does that say to me?
Yeah. The black leader's not hate crime.
What does Yahweh expect me to do?
We're going to kill all whiteys, and it's not a hate crime. But if we make a joke about Jews or blacks, that's a hate crime. Come on, folks. Get real. Get real. The system is stacked against whitey.
I got 3 feet of hate crime. Right,
yeah.
Here.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So we will
but
not apologize
in,
for being realistic.
Let's give you an example of what they do today by going back in Josephus and talking about Herod and what he did.
Right. Oh, man.
This guy was a piece of work, man.
Yeah. Yeah,
he
it's evil,
was
rotten.
I mean, he didn't have any such thing as loyalty or friends or.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, it didn't
power,
matter. If
power
he
monger.
Had something he wanted. You're toast, man. He's gonna he's kill you and take it.
Yeah, and then Maccabees, the shows we did on Maccabees shows what the enemy does, and these are Greeks that were slaughtering Judahites just for practicing our law. They refuse to allow us to practice our religion, our law, the Torah, okay? And it's the same today. We're the only ones in identity, we're the only ones who actually practice Torah. And that's why we're hated more than anybody else, okay?
So, and our own people, the Judeo-Christians, they hate us.
They hate us
probably
even more.
Probably worse than anybody else.
Yeah.
Because we make them uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Because
they
know deep in their heart that they're supposed to be doing what we're doing.
Right.
But they're in their little social club and they don't have the stones to walk away from it.
But like that white liberal in South Africa, she thought she was going to get a pass.
You're going to kill me too.
But I supported you for the last 20 years.
Yeah,
why would you kill me?
We're going to kill you first because you're always hanging around.
Yeah, right. You're close by, right?
You're close. You know, you're convenient.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Okay, so this is the reality, folks. This is the reality. And if you believe the lies that non-whites are wonderfully disposed toward you because you've been their benefactor for umpteen hundred years, forget about it.
Well, they hate you for it.
They hate you for it. Absolutely. So
they don't do it themselves. All right, they're white. They're running all the whites out of South Africa. Mm-hmm. What are they going to do if all the whites just packed up and left?
Yeah, well, they're kicking them out. The farmers, they're forcing the farmers. They're going to starve. That's what's going to happen.
Well, then that's good.
That's a good
then
thing.
Then starve, you stupid
Cotsahundas. Right.
Go ahead, starve.
Is that one of the tribes down there, Cotsahundas?
I don't know. But, I just put my made up.
Yeah, right. Okay, folks, we've been venting at the beginning of today's show, and rightfully so, because the white race is under attack. The Jewish orchestrated anti-white slaughter, genocide going around worldwide. People are beginning to react to the oppression of the globalists, but they still don't understand it's all Jew orchestrated, and that we cannot tolerate the presence of Jews in our society because they will, as parasites, they will always undermine white authority. They always will, okay? So stop pretending that you can get along with these creatures.
Well,
you cannot.
Let's get this straight before we go any further. the Talmudists don't fight. They hire it done by other people.
That's right.
They're not great warriors. They get their butt handed to them if they get into it. But they will have a rent-a-mob.
Yeah.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
You see, the Antifa is a rent-a-mob hired and paid for, funded, sponsored, transported by these people, by Soros and his ilk.
Right.
You know.
Rothschild, the Democratic Party, it's all controlled by Jews, every last bit of it.
Well, okay. I have been heartened because ICE has made, in several states in the past 2 days, massive, and here in Kentucky is one of them,
okay,
massive raids, and they have arrested thousands. And they're going to ship them out. They're going to get them out of the country.
Right.
Some
right.
of them are wanted criminals. They're going to go to jail, and then they'll be shipped out. But the ones that are not wanted for crime, they're raiding these chicken plants. They're raiding these manufacturing mm-hmm. plants where they have all this unskilled...
GMO chicken, Franken chicken, right?
Well, all the plants where they have unskilled migrant labor...
Right.
And they pay them about half of what they're supposed to pay them because it's good business. The ones
sure.
that want all this illegal immigration
yeah.
are the businesses because
yeah.
they don't want to pay a white man a decent wage. They want to have the
Bill Clinton's migrant. Buddy, Tyson. Tyson Chicken. They're
oh,
one of the worst
big
offenders.
Time.
Yeah. Okay.
Big time, Tyson. That was chicken plants here in Kentucky that they raided.
Right. Interesting. Swamp Fox says, when they start starving, then we will see ad after ad on Talmud Vision to bring on white guilt and the need to bring them here to stop their suffering. Yeah, so we should suffer. Right?
Well, they had that line where they had the slave ships, and the sharks still patrol that.
Right.
Racial memory.
Genetic memory. Yeah, right. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And... We need to feed those sharks. Save the sharks.
Sharkelli.
Sharks need to eat. Sharks need to eat. We
yes.
cannot discriminate against sharks.
Right.
They're white sharks.
Killer whales. Right.
So we have to feed the
great
white
sharks. Right.
Right. A great white shark.
Yeah. So this is a battle to the death. You know, the wrath of the awakened Saxon.
Gator got your granny.
Yeah.
Chomp,
right.
Chomp.
Right.
Chomp.
Yeah, so
poke salad, Annie.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so the daughters and the granddaughters knew enough to stay away from the swamp, so they don't get ate, right?
Yeah.
But you know, our people are so genetically predisposed to be kind, okay, and that doesn't work outside of our race. It simply does not work because the other races do not have that built into them.
Well,
like we
do the opposite. We're mean to our own people, and
yeah,
then we're lovey-dovey to all the
That's right. You got it. It's all backwards. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Because of programming. Jew programming.
Let's get into chapter 11.
Yeah, we've
here.
Been ranting for 20 minutes here, but
we deserve a good rant. We've
yeah,
earned it.
Right. Yeah, we actually don't do much ranting here, but no. let's continue. Okay, so this is Antiquities.
You want
of
to read,
Judah.
Or you want me to read?
Well, no, we're going to alternate. Remember from last week that
worked
out really well.
Yeah, I okay. can't remember that far yeah. back. It's been a week.
Right, it's been a whole week, right? And this is book 14 of the Antiquities of Judah. Don't let anybody tell you this is the Antiquities of the Jews. We're talking about the pure-blooded house of Judah, which rejected, as we proved in Maccabees and in Josephus as well, that they refused to race mix, okay?
Yep.
Jews are the most race-mixed people on the face of the earth. How do they qualify as Judah? They do not, period, okay? So last chapter was chapter 10, and that dealt with the edict of the Caesar that the Judahites, wherever they are in the Roman Empire, should be allowed to practice Torah, Okay. And that was because they were the breadwinner. They were the what do you call it? Not breadwinner, but actually grain growers of the entire Middle East. Okay, Caesar realized that and gave them this concession to be able to practice Torah in peace without being molested by Roman citizens. Right? That's what that was all about. There was a lot of resentment created about that. These were not your money-lending Edomite Jews. The money-lending Edomite Jews are just coming on the scene now with Antipater and Herod, okay? They ultimately will take over the Roman Empire from behind the scenes with their money-lending activities, not the pure-blooded Judahites. The pure-blooded Judahites are simply peasant stock, and maybe they do some buying and selling in the Roman theater, but they're basically farmers and peasants. Not money lenders, okay? Because even now, there's no record in any of these documents about Israel, true Israel, that they were money lenders or had an established banking system. That only applies to the Jews, not to Judah. So you have to keep this distinction in mind constantly. All right? So that's what chapter 10 was about. Let's go into chapter 11 and Herod. I'll just first read the heading here. How Mercus succeeded Sextus when he had been slain by Bassus' treachery, and how, after the death of Caesar, Cassius came into Syria and distressed Judea. So the previous Caesar was kindly toward the Judahites. The new Caesar isn't. As also how Malichus slew Antipater, the Edomite, and was himself slain by Herod. Okay, now this is total treachery. I mean, the record of Josephus and Jewish treachery, Edomite Jewish treachery, it's just unbelievable. The
Sounds like the
backstabbing.
Democrat Party.
There you go. Sounds like Hillary Clinton. Yeah, Jezebel, right? We talked about Jezebel. All right.
Arkansas,
Yes, Mick, exactly. All right. Paragraph one. Now it so fell out that about this very time the affairs of Syria were in great disorder, and this on the occasion following. Cecilius Bassus, one of Pompey's party, laid a treacherous design against Sextus Caesar and slew him, and then took his army and got the management of the public affairs into his own hand. So there arose a great war about Apamea, while Caesar's generals came against him with an army of horsemen and footmen. So there was, revolution going on in the Roman Empire with people vying for the power. To these Antipater sent also succors, and his sons with them, as calling to mind the kindnesses they had received from Caesar, and on that account he thought it but just to require punishment for him and to take vengeance on the man that had murdered him. Okay, so Antipater obviously had curried favor with Julius Caesar by giving him a great sum of money to establish his son Herod as the governor of Galilee. Okay, so it would be impossible for Antipater to change sides now. He would have to support the ruling, the rulers who still have maintained power in Rome itself. And as the war was drawn out into great length, Mercus came from Rome to take Sextus' government upon him. But Caesar was slain by Cassius and Brutus in the Senate House after he had retained the government 3 years and 6 months. This fact, however, is related elsewhere. Okay, so this is a very
That's where
accurate.
that saying comes from, et tu, Brute. You too, Brutus.
Right.
They
You are.
stabbed him. They're right there.
Yeah.
They just walked up and pulled knives and stuck him.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, this is the way that Rome began to decline, because the Roman Senate, which was a form of republic, it was a republic of the wealthiest, the gentiles, okay? But once the Caesars took over, it became a dictatorship. So now, being a dictatorship, the leadership can be, the government can be taken over simply by assassinating the dictator, and this is what we see. This is the
Well,
beginning.
Caesar was not a name. Caesar was a title.
Right. Julius Caesar. was the one assassinated here by Brutus and Cassius.
Right.
Okay. And so Antipater had no choice but to side with Julius and his successor. So, hey, back to you. Paragraph 2.
All righty. Paragraph 2. As the war that arose upon the death of Caesar was now begun, and the principal men were all gone, some one way and some another, to raise armies. Cassius came from Rome into Syria in order to receive the army that lay in the camp of Apamea. And having raised the siege, he brought over both Bassus and Marcus to his party. He then went over the cities and got together weapons and soldiers and laid great taxes upon those cities. And he chiefly oppressed Judea.
Okay.
And exacted of it 700 talents. That's in gold.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of gold.
That's a lot of gold. A lot of taxes.
But Antipater, when he saw the state to be in so great consternation and disorder, he divided the collection of that sum and appointed his two sons to gather it. And so that part of it was to be exacted by Malichus, who was ill-disposed to him, and part by others. And because Herod did exact what is required of him from Galilee before others, he was in the greatest favor with Cassius.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
For he thought it a part of wisdom to cultivate a friendship with the Romans and to gain their goodwill at the expense of others.
At the expense of Judah.
A big suck-up exercise by him.
That's right.
Whereas the curators of the other cities with their citizens were sold for slaves, that was the main way of getting rid of them without just killing them and making money off of
there
it.
There you
too.
Go. Slavery, yep.
And Cassius reduced four cities into a state of slavery, the two most potent of which were Gophna and Emmaus. And besides these, Lydia and Tomna. Cassius was so very angry at Malichus that he would have killed him, for he assaulted him, had not Hyrcanus, by the means of Antipater, sent him 100 talents of his own, bought him off.
Yeah, right.
And thereby pacified his anger against him.
Okay, so who in the world today has enough money to buy assassins and to hold back the anger of dictators?
I wonder.
Who could that be? Maybe Soros? Maybe Rothschild? Hey, folks, this is history today is simply repeating itself. These events transpiring in Judea in these days are an example of what happens when Jews take over your government. Okay?
They bribe and they plot.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get in the way and you're inconvenient, you have a terrible accident.
That's right. Terrible.
I mean, you're the .45 that you're carrying goes off and it shoots you in the back of your head five times.
And they call it suicide. Right? That's what they do. Okay.
And they find that gun in your hand. Funny how that happens.
Yeah, right. Paragraph 3, but after Cassius was gone out of Judea, Malichus laid snares for Antipater, as thinking that his death would be the preservation of Hyrcanus' government. But his design was not unknown to Antipater, the Jews have their spies everywhere, which when he perceived, he retired beyond Jordan and got together an army, partly of Arabs and partly of his own countrymen. So here we see Antipater caught in the snare of Roman descent, okay, the dissolution of the Roman dictatorship, And having to choose sides, he now made an enemy of the other side. Okay? Just, the Jews don't like to do this, but he had to in this case. And so did Herod. Okay? So, partly of the Arabs and partly of his own countrymen. However, Malichus, being one of great cunning, denied that he had laid any snares for him, and made his defense with an oath, both to himself and his sons, and said that while Phasaelus, who was one of Antipater's sons, had a garrison in Jerusalem, and Herod had the weapons of war in his custody, he could never have thought of any such thing. Who? Me? That's what Cassius says. In other words, playing the Jew. So Antipater, perceiving the distress that Malichus was in, was reconciled to him and made an agreement with him. So here, the Jew got fooled by his own tactics. He got outsmarted. Okay? All right, so where was I? Oh, yeah, okay. Reconciled to him and made an agreement with him. This was when Mercus was president of Syria, who yet perceiving that this Malichus was making a disturbance in Judea, proceeded so far that he had almost killed him, but still, at the intercession of Antipater, he saved him. Okay, so Antipater is hedging his bets. Okay, well, I better make an agreement with this guy. He's got agreements with the enemy, too, just to hedge his bets.
Both sides against the middle.
There you go. All right, take paragraph four, please.
I will. However, Antipater little thought. I got to turn a page here. Come on. They stuck it. Thought that by saving Malichus, he had saved his own murderer. For now, Cassius and Marcus had got together an army and entrusted the entire care of it with Herod.
Wow. Wow.
Oh, yeah. Giddy, giddy. Mm-hmm. And made him general of the forces of Coelet, Syria. It gave him a fleet of ships and an army of horsemen and footmen, and promised him that after the war was over, they would make him king of Judea.
Okay, so is there any possibility that Herod is a true-blooded Judahite interested in Torah?
No.
No, none whatsoever.
Okay. For, well, if he was Antipater's kid, Antipater was a Jew.
That's right. Yeah, an Edomite
so
Jew.
So yeah. Herod was a Jew.
Mm-hmm. So, there you go.
So, but as Malichus was most afraid of Antipater, he took him out of the way and by the offer of money persuaded the butler of Hyrcanus, with whom they were both to feast, to kill him by poison.
Ah, the butler did it.
This being done, and he, having armed men with him, settled the affairs of the city. In other words, he just killed a guy and
poisoned him.
Took over.
That's the Roman way. Yeah, either stab in the back or poison, one or the other.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But when Antipater's sons, Herod and Phasaelus, were acquainted with this conspiracy against their father and had indignation at it, Malichus denied all and utterly renounced any knowledge of the murder. Me? I don't know anything about that.
Yep. Right. Just like Hillary.
And thus
getting people out of the way.
Antipater, a man that had distinguished himself for piety and justice and love to his country.
Oh yeah, right. Yeah. Could Josephus have been fooled also, or is he just being politically correct in making this statement? Yeah, Kim Smith said, didn't do nothing.
I think it's political correct.
Yeah, there you go. I agree.
And whereas one of his sons, Herod, resolved immediately to revenge their father's death and was coming upon Malichus with an army for that purpose, the elder of his sons, Phasaelus, thought it best rather to get this man into their hands by policy, lest they should appear to be a civil war in the country.
Okay, all right.
So he accepted Malichus's defense for himself and pretended to believe him that he had no hand in the violent death of Antipater, his father, but erected a fine monument for him. Herod also went to Samaria, and when he found them in great distress, he revived their spirits and composed their differences.
So you can imagine the nature of this so-called truce between Malichus.
A truce of snakes.
Oh, man. All right, so you know this is going to blow up really soon. It's like Hillary erecting a monument for those soldiers she murdered in Libya, right? Yeah. Okay. Oh, I didn't do nothing. Here, we honor them. We honor their memory, right? Yeah. Okay, you believe Hillary? Of course, she didn't go that far because she's even a worse snake. She thinks she can run the country by deceit. Paragraph 5. However, a little after this, Herod, upon the approach of a festival, came with his soldiers into the city, whereupon Malichus was affrighted and persuaded Hyrcanus to not permit him to come into the city. Well, now this is crazy because Hyrcanus and Antipater and Herod have been allies, you know, now for many years. Okay, apparently Malichus doesn't realize this. Hyrcanus complied. All right, at least openly, and for a pretense of excluding him, alleged that a rout of strangers ought not to be admitted while the multitude were purifying themselves. Okay, good excuse. Come up with a good pretext. But Herod had little regard to the messengers that were sent to him and entered the city in the nighttime and affrighted Malichus. Yet did he remit nothing of his former dissimulation, but wept for Antipater and bewailed him as a friend of his with a loud voice. All the actors on the stage, right? I mean, this is politics today, folks.
Oh, yeah.
This is politics today.
Oh, we're going to have this border wall. Yeah. We all voted for it now.
Okay.
You'll not get a wall, Mr. Trump.
Right, yeah. Well, remember the wailing at McCain's funeral and the wailing at George H.W. Bush's funeral? Oh, what a great man. He only stabbed me in the back 10 times, but I have to make a politically correct statement. Otherwise, you know.
Yeah, we're on camera.
Gnaw me to death.
We're on camera.
This is the reality of the world, folks. It hasn't changed. This is still the way it is, okay? So, but Herod and his friends thought it proper not openly to contradict Malichus's hypocrisy, but to give him tokens of mutual friendship in order to prevent his suspicion of them. So the charade continues. Back
more
to you.
Hang off. Money talks, BS
right.
walks, you
That's
know?
Right, yeah.
Okay.
Malichus should realize he better get out of town. You know, if he values his life, he better split.
He values money more.
That's right.
Paragraph 6. However, Herod sent to Cassius and informed him of the murder of his father, who, knowing what sort of man Malichus was as to his morals, sent him back word that he should revenge his father's death.
Okay, so he gets
and
approval
also
from Cassius.
Sent privately to the commanders of his army at Tyre with orders to assist Herod in the execution of a very just plan of his.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now, when Cassius had taken Laodicea, they all went together to him and carried him garlands and money. And Herod thought that Malichus might be punished while he was there. But he was something apprehensive of the thing and designed to make some great attempt. And because his son was then a hostage at Tyre, he went to that city and resolved to steal him away privately and to march from there into Judea. And as Cassius was in haste to march against Antony, he thought to bring the country to revolt and to procure the government for himself.
Now remember, Cassius is one of the assassins of Julius Caesar. And so Antony apparently is on Julius Caesar's side, so Cassius and Antony are now enemies. Okay. Back to you.
All right, but Providence opposed his counsels. And Herod, being a shrewd man and perceiving what his intention was, he sent there beforehand a servant. In appearance, indeed, to get a supper ready, for he had said before that he would feast them all there, but in reality to the commander of the army, who he persuaded to go out against Malchus with their daggers. So they went out and met the man near the city, upon the seashore, and there stabbed him.
Okay.
Whereupon Hyrcanus was so astonished at what had happened that his speech failed him. And
difficulty,
he had recovered himself. He asked Herod what the matter could be and who it was that killed Malchus.
Okay, is there any question who runs Judea at this time? Hyrcanus or Herod? Okay.
Hyrcanus. And when he said it was done by the command of Cassius, he commended the action, for Malchus was a very wicked man and one that conspired against his own country. And this was the punishment that was inflicted on Malchus for what he wickedly did to Antipater.
Okay, well, the Jews always get even. Okay? Everybody listening? Everybody listening?
They try.
Yeah, well,
they'll wait three or 400 years.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they will. Yeah, well, just
some
like
ancestor,
they did.
Somebody remember that ancestor, and they'll wait three or 400 years and then stab somebody.
Well, they assassinated.
That Germany allied with the Tsar of Russia.
Right. Yeah.
Way before World War II, they tried to destroy Germany in World War II, and doggone near did it.
That's right.
Now they're going after them again.
Right. Well, they never gave up their vengeance against the Russian Tsars, because they assassinated Nicholas II for perceived injustices in the past, where the Tsars thwarted Jewish plans, such as giving Abraham Lincoln the Navy during the Civil War. The Rothschilds were furious. I think it was Alexander I. And then they finally got their vengeance in 1917. Right? They never forget. Okay? And they will take their vengeance out on your children if you slip out of their grasp. This is what they do. And here's a perfect example of how they operate. All right? Nothing has changed, folks. Okay, so let's go into chapter 12 of book 14. And the heading states, Herod ejects Antigonus, the son of Aristobulus, out of Judea. Okay, so Antigonus and Aristobulus were pure-blooded Judahites. Okay, and gains the friendship of Antony. Okay, so now Herod...
Well, you skipped...
Okay.
Section 7.
Oh, I did. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, okay. But when Cassius was marched out of Syria... Okay,
very good. But when Cassius was marched out of Syria, disturbances arose in Judea. For Felix, who was left at Jerusalem with an army, made a sudden attempt against Phasaelus, and the people themselves rose in arms, of course, Phasaelus being the other son of Antipater. But Herod went to Fabius, the prefect in Damascus, and was desirous to run to his brother's assistance, but was hindered by a distemper that seized upon him. till Phaselas himself had been too hard for Felix and had shut him up in the tower, and there, on certain conditions, dismissed him. All right, so even Phaselas was apparently a decent military commander and was able to fight off Felix. Phaselas also complained of Hyrcanus that although he had received a great many benefits from them, yet did he support their enemy. Well, basically, Hyrcanus was siding with his own family now, his own sons, Aristobulus and Antigonus. What do you expect him to do? So, but the Romans now are firmly on the side of the Edomites, Herod and Phaselas. Okay, this is how it works out. Okay. For Malichus's brother had made many places to revolt and kept garrisons in them, and particularly Masada, which we know of in later history, the strongest fortress of them all. In the meantime, Herod was recovered of his disease and came and took from Felix all the places he had gotten, and upon certain conditions dismissed him also. So, because Hyrcanus was such a weak leader and had allowed Antipater, Herod, and Phaselas essentially take over the kingdom while he looked the other way. I mean, how many times have our white nations been ruined by weak leaders who refuse to face down the Jews? Okay? Even the Kaiser Wilhelm II, rather than face down the Jews, he fled. He fled for his life. And Germany was turned over to the Jews, to the Bolsheviks. Back to you.
Yep. Well, we're going to start chapter 12 now.
Right.
And this is Herod rejects Antigonus, the son of Aristobulus, out of Judea, and gains the friendship of Antony, who was now come into Syria, by sending him much money, on which account he would not admit of those that would have accused Herod, and what it was that Antony wrote to the Tyrians in behalf of the Judeans. Okay, paragraph 1 of 12. Now Ptolemy, the son of Menneus, brought back into Judea Antigonus, the son of Aristobulus, who had already raised an army and had, by money, made Fabius to be his friend, and this because he was of kin to him.
Okay. Interesting.
Marion also gave him assistance. He had been left by Cassius to tyrannize over Tyre, for this Cassius was a man that seized on Syria and then kept it under in the way of a tyrant. Marian also marched into Galilee, which lay in his neighborhood, and took three of his fortresses and put garrisons into them to keep them. But when Herod came, he took all from him. But the Tyrian garrison he dismissed in a very civil manner. In fact, to some of the soldiers, he made presents out of the goodwill he bore to that city.
Okay.
When he had dispatched these affairs and was gone to meet Antigonus, he joined battle with him and beat him and drove him out of Judea presently, when he was just come into its borders. But when he was come to Jerusalem, Hyrcanus and the people put garlands about his head, for he had already contracted an affinity with the family of Hyrcanus by having espoused a descendant of his. And for that reason, Herod took the greater care of him, as being espoused to marry the daughter of Alexander, the son of Aristobulus, and the granddaughter of Hyrcanus, by which wife he became the father of 3 male and 2 female
okay.
children.
So here we see the Edomites intermarrying with Judah.
Yep.
Okay.
He had also married before this another wife out of a lower family of his own nation.
Which is the Edomites.
Whose name was Doris, by whom he had his eldest son, Antipater.
Okay, so named after his father. Yeah.
There's another Antipater.
Antipater, or grandson of Antipater. Okay. So here you see the machinations of these Jews once they gain power. Okay, so they're always very careful to curry favor with whomever they can for future alliances. Right? Okay? That's what they do. All right, paragraph 2. Now Antoninus and Caesar. Actually, I was wondering, where's Brutus in all this? Because Brutus is the one more famous for assassinating Julius Caesar. But it was Cassius who went into...
Oh, he was lurking around in the background.
Yeah, maybe
he was more of a supportive character.
Okay, so maybe he had to stay back at Rome to make sure they maintained power there, while Cassius went out to take over the military aspect. All right, paragraph 2. Now, Antoninus and Caesar had beaten Cassius near Philippi, as others have related. But after the victory, Caesar went into Gaul, which he says is in Italy, and Antony marched into Asia, who, when he was arrived at Bithynia, he had ambassadors that met with him from all parts. The principal men also of the Judeans came thither to accuse Phasaelus and Herod. So these would be Judahites. Okay? Mm-hmm. All right? The principal men of Judah, would be the correct translation here, came thither to accuse Phasaelus and Herod, and they that said that Hyrcanus had indeed the appearance of reigning. Now listen, folks. That Hyrcanus had indeed the appearance of reigning, but that these men had all the power, namely Phasaelus and Herod. But Antony paid great respect to Herod, who was come to him to make his defense against his accusers, on which account his adversaries could not so much as obtain a hearing, which favor Herod had gained of Antony by money. No. Just like his father Antipater bribed Julius Caesar to put him in power as governor of Galilee, now Herod bribes Antony. Okay? So here, but Antony is now the enemy of Cassius, so Herod is playing both sides. You know, this is dangerous work, but they had to do it, right? And hopefully...
Well, no matter who wins...
Yeah.
He comes out smelling like a rose.
Oh, just like the Rothschilds.
Yeah.
Yeah. They've financed both sides, right?
Absolutely.
So here we go, folks.
They get to gut the loser.
There you go. Literally.
Loot everything and pillage everything. So he's got pillaging rights.
Right, yeah.
To whoever loses.
Yeah. But still...
Lovely folks.
That's right. Amen. But still, when Antony was come to Ephesus, Hyrcanus, the high priest, and our nation... sent an embassage to him, which carried a crown of gold with them, and desired that he would write to the governors of the provinces to set those Judahites free who had been carried captive by Cassius, and this without their having fought against him, and to restore them that country which in the days of Cassius had been taken from them. Antony thought that the Judahites' desires were just, and wrote immediately to Hyrcanus and to the Judahites. He also sent at the same time a decree to the Tyrians, the contents of which were to the same purpose. So here we see there's dissension between Hyrcanus and the Edomites. Okay?
Yep.
Can you anticipate what happens to Hyrcanus? Right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Our side?
Yeah. So he's sending money to Antony to placate, but you know, who's got the more money? Right? Okay, so chump change from Hyrcanus and, you know, talents of gold from Herod and Phasaelus. But Antony is willing to accept money from anybody because he's got an army to feed. Back to you.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. This is section 3. Marcus Antoninus, imperator to Hyrcanus, the high priest and ethnarch of the Judeans, sends greetings. If you be in health, it is well. I am also in health with the army.
With the army.
Yeah.
Underlined with the army.
All 10,000 of us are feeling right. Pretty good.
Yeah, standing okay. Outside the gates, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Lysimachus, the son of Pausanias, and Josephus, the son of Menaeus, and Alexander, the son of Theodorus, your ambassadors, met me at Ephesus and have renewed the king, renewed the delegation which they had formerly been upon at Rome, and have diligently acquitted themselves of the present delegation, which you and your nation have entrusted to them, and have fully declared the goodwill you have for us. Suck up. I am therefore satisfied both by your actions and your words that you are well disposed to us, and I understand that your conduct of life is constant and religious. So I reckon upon you as our own. Hmm. But when those that were adversaries to you and to the Roman people abstained neither from cities nor temples, and did not observe the agreement they had confirmed by oath, it was not only on account of our contest with them, but on account of all mankind in common, that we have taken vengeance on those who have been the authors of great injustice toward men and of great wickedness toward the gods.
Okay. Well, Mark Antony can actually say these words sincerely, because Cassius and Brutus assassinated his Caesar, Julius, right? Okay?
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay.
But who does he ally himself with? That's the question now.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. For the sake of which we suppose it was that the sun turned away his light from us, as unwilling to view the hard crime they were guilty of in the case of Caesar. Must have been an eclipse.
Yeah, could be.
Well, that's what he's talking about here.
Yeah, Ides of March? I don't know.
We have also overcome their conspiracies, which threatened the gods themselves, which Macedonia received, as it is a climate peculiarly proper for impious and insolent attempts. And we have overcome that confused rout of men, half mad with spite against us, which they got together at Philippi in Macedonia when they seized on the places that were proper for their purpose, and as it were, walled them round with mountains to the very sea, and where the passage was open only through a single gate. This victory we gained because the gods had condemned those men for their wicked enterprises. And here's Brutus.
Okay.
Now Brutus, when he had fled as far as Philippi, was shut up by us and became a partaker of the same destruction as Cassius. And now these have received their punishment. We suppose that we may enjoy peace for the time to come, and that Asia may be at rest from war. So Brutus got scragged in the end, too.
Right. Yeah. So he stayed behind and did what he could to secure the empire, but Mark Antony took care of him. Very good.
Right.
Okay.
We therefore make that peace which God has given us in common with our allies also, in so much as the body of Asia is now recovered out of that disease it was under by the means of our victory.
Yeah, revolution.
Right.
Yeah.
I, therefore, bearing in mind both you and your nation, shall take care of what may be for your advantage. I have also sent letters in writing to the several cities that if any persons, whether freemen or bondmen, have been sold under the spear by Caius Cassius.
Wow. Wow,
or
that's
his
generous.
Subordinate officers, they may be set free.
Hooray! Applause. Okay.
And I will that you kindly make use of the favors which I and Dolabella have been granted you. I also forbid the Tyrians to use any violence with you and for what places of the Judeans they now possess. I order them to restore them. I have nonetheless accepted of the crown which you sent me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So here there's another dictator flowing through, right? Going through the country. And I'm sure that Mark Antony is not really, you know, aware of the dissensions between the Edomite Jews and the true-blooded Judahites. Okay. And he wouldn't even care, right? Right now he's just interested in securing the territory that he just took away from the assassins of Julius Caesar. That's his main concern here. But nevertheless, he's very generous to the Judeans in restoring to them their liberty and territory, okay? Which was taken away by Cassius. Okay, paragraph 4. Marcus Antonius, imperator to the magistrates, senate, and the people of Tyre, sendeth greeting. The ambassadors of Hyrcanus, the high priest and ethnarch of Judea, appeared before me at Ephesus and told me that you are in possession of part of their country, which you entered upon under the government of our adversaries. Since, therefore, we have undertaken a war for the obtaining of the government, and have taken care to do what was agreeable to piety and justice, and have brought to punishment those that had neither any remembrance of the kindness they had received, nor have kept their oaths, I will that you be at peace with those that are our confederates, namely the Judeans, as also that what you have taken by the means of our adversaries shall not be reckoned your own, but be returned to those from whom you took them. Okay, so the spoils of war that they received from their ally Cassius now must be returned. For none of them took their provinces or their armies by the gift of the Senate, but they seized them by force and bestowed them by violence upon such as became useful to them in their unjust proceedings. Since, therefore, those men have received the punishment due to them, we desire that our confederates may retain whatsoever it was that they formerly possessed without disturbance, and that you restore all the places which belong to Hyrcanus, the ethnarch of Judea, which you have had, though it were but one day before Caius began an unjustifiable war against us. Cassius. And entered into our province, nor do you use them any force against them, in order to weaken him, that he may not be able to dispose of that which is his own. I'm thinking, referring to Hyrcanus. But if you have any contest with him about your respective rights, it shall be lawful for you to plead your cause when we come upon the places concerned, for we shall alike preserve the rights and hear all the causes of our confederates. Okay, so fair enough. Okay.
Yep.
Marcus Antoninus, back to you.
All right. They have the notes in here about the pronunciation. We're using the term Marcus,
mm-hmm.
where in the English it's spelled Marcus,
mm-hmm.
The correct pronunciation is Mercus, which Eli has been using, and I use as well.
Okay.
Really.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, speaking of footnotes, regarding the sun, the turning away of the light of the sun, footnote is here. This clause plainly alludes to that well-known but unusual and very long darkness of the sun, which happened upon the murder of Julius Caesar by Brutus and Cassius, which is greatly taken notice of by Virgil, Pliny, and other Roman authors. Very interesting.
Okay. Was an eclipse, evidently.
Apparently. Yeah, yeah. Okay. On the Ides of March?
Yeah. Okay. Who knows?
Yeah. Okay.
You know, that's that planetary stuff.
Ralph, sure, sure, sure.
Somebody slid a disc into the top of the dome up there on Flat Earth.
Flat Earth.
And,
right? And it was just big enough to cover the whole Earth.
Right. 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 So it didn't have to be very big because the sun's only a couple hundred miles up,
yeah,
right?
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Okay. Okay. Let me do one more footnote here. I'm not sure where it refers to. We may here take notice that a general... the language of these dictates is what this footnote is about. We may here take notice that espousals alone were of old esteemed a sufficient foundation for affinity, Hyrcanus being here called father-in-law to Herod because his granddaughter Mariamne was betrothed to him, although the marriage was not completed until 4 years afterwards. Okay, I think this is probably in the next section. Back to you.
All righty. Let's get into paragraph 5 here. Mercus Antonius, Imperator to the magistrates, senate, and people of Tyre. In the Hebrew, that would be Zor, T-S-O-R, okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Sends greetings. I have sent you my degree, my decree, not degree.
Right.
Of duh, of which I... will that you take care that it be engraved on the public tables in Roman and Greek letters, and that it stand engraved in the most illustrious places, that it may be read by all.
In the newspapers of the day.
Right. Yep. Mm-hmm. Those are the public, the stella that people would come out and read it.
Okay,
you know, well, where they posted all their important news.
Yes. Fake news.
Right, well, whatever they right? want. They had the swords and the men. They could
That's
post
right.
what they wanted.
Exactly.
Okay?
Exactly.
Mercus Antoninus, Imperator, one of the triumvirate over the public affairs, made this declaration. Since Caius Cassius, in this revolt he has made, has pillaged that province which belonged not to him and was held by garrisons there encamped while they were our allies, and has plundered that nation of the Judeans that was in friendship with the Roman people as in war. Mm-hmm. And since we have overcome his madness by arms, we now correct by our decrees and judicial determinations what he has laid waste, that those things may be restored to our allies.
Okay.
In other words, they were going to give them all their stuff back.
Right.
Because they didn't want to lose them as allies.
Exactly. But maybe he was motivated by a sense of justice.
Execute justice is what they were going to do.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, this is still politics, so, yeah.
Well, I mean, you know.
Yeah.
And as for what has been sold of the Judean possessions, whether they be bodies or possessions, let them be released. The bodies into that state of freedom they were originally in, and the possessions to their former owners. That's pretty friendly.
Yeah, it is.
That's gonna make some people really happy.
That's right.
I also will that he who shall not comply with this decree of mine shall be punished for his disobedience. And if such a one be caught, I will take care that the offenders suffer condign punishment.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be serious.
Right. So we see that the friendly relationships of Rome to Judea are attempting to be restored here. Okay, they were destroyed by Cassius, one of the assassins of Julius Caesar. Paragraph 6, a very short one. The same thing did Antony write to the Sidonians and to Antiochans and to the Arabians. We have produced these decrees, therefore, as marks for futurity of the truth of what we have said, that the Romans had a great concern about our nation. Okay. And, there was, what they didn't realize and didn't take note of, probably didn't care either, that there were Edomite Jews impersonating Judahites, and this is why there was conflicting testimony and conflicting allegiances in Judea among the Romans, okay? And, but nobody inquired to, who are these? Who is Herod? Who is Antipater? Are they really Judahites? They didn't care about that. What they cared about was the bribes they were getting from both sides. Back to you.
Okay, I guess we'll go into chapter 13. And the intrigue here seems very modern to me, that just the backstabbing and the power plays, the money deals, the briberies. If somebody gets to be a little convenient, they have a terrible accident.
Yeah.
And the assassins will be bailed out and given a lot of money, and they will live well. So why not? They don't have anything to lose.
Right.
This is gone on. It goes on today. We have these murders that they've got them, but the truth and law does not matter. The judge is in control, and he will dismiss this and not allow that. And the guy's going to walk. Mm-hmm. Then they'll compensate him for false arrest, even though he was guilty, and send him off to live a life of luxury.
Right.
This is what's going on today. Well, they did the same thing back then. But it was easier with the straight dictatorship because they could just say, set this guy free.
Yeah.
But no buts. I said set him free or I'm going to have your head.
That's right.
Right away, sir. No problem.
Yes, sir.
On my way. Mm-hmm. It's happening now. Yes, sir.
Right. Well, a perfect example is the assassination of President Kennedy.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, while the Jews openly or publicly declare, and they supported the Democratic Party, no doubt. But JFK's father, Joe Kennedy, had broken ranks with the international Jews, and John F. Kennedy was exposing the conspiracy. He didn't name the Jews, but that famous speech that he made, that we do not engage in secret societies and plots and deception. Every Jew that heard that speech knew who he was talking about, right? So JFK had to be done away with, right? And then afterwards, they named a bunch of streets after him. The Jews did, right?
Well, he was doing the same thing that Lincoln did, and he was going to replace the Federal Reserve.
Right.
And they could not have that.
No,
so.
No way they could have that. Right. And then Hillary Clinton had Seth Rich murdered because she found out he's the one that had released a lot of her emails. Right? He was the mole. So he got plugged.
Oh, my. Okay. It ain't so.
Yeah, right? Yeah. And didn't they actually, what was that news organization that right-wing, very right-wing news organization that, you know, exposed all of that. And they got tanked by mainstream media, and their accounts were closed by Facebook and Twitter, et cetera, et cetera. You know, so anybody who reviewed. Yeah, I can't remember the name of the group. Yeah, Seth Rich, absolutely. Okay, so chapter 13, take it.
How Antony made Herod and Phasaelus tetrarchs after they had been accused to no purpose, and how the Parthians, when they brought Antigonus into Judea, took Hyrcanus and Phasaelus captives, Herod's flight, and what afflictions Hyrcanus and Phasaelus endured. That's what that's a synopsis of this chapter.
Right. Absolutely. Now here, because the Parthians are such an important nation at this point in time, and they're the nation from which the so-called wise men came, because they were Israelites. They were Israelites.
Yeah.
And Parthia was an Israelite nation. Okay. Very powerful. Whether or not the Parthians realized that Hyrcanus was a race traitor at this point, hard to say, okay? But they would certainly want a pure-blooded Judahite on the throne as opposed to an Edomite in league with Rome, okay? That's obvious,
yes.
Okay? So we'll see to what extent the Parthians are involved in all of this. Back to you.
All right, let's get started. Paragraph 1. When, after this, Antony came into Syria, Cleopatra met him in Cilicia and brought him to fall in love with her. And there came now also 100 of the most potent of the Judeans to accuse Herod and those about him, and set the men of the greatest eloquence among them to speak. Verse number 325 here. But Messala contradicted them on behalf of the young men, and all this in the presence of Hyrcanus, who was Herod's father-in-law.
Right, through marriage.
Already.
Mm-hmm.
When Antony had heard both sides at Daphne, he asked Hyrcanus who they were that governed the nation best. He replied, Herod and his friend.
Oh! Ooh!
But Antony, by reason of the old hospitable friendship he had made with his father, Antipater, at that time when he was with Gabinius, he made both Herod and Phasaelus tetrarchs and committed the public affairs of the Judeans to them and wrote letters to that purpose. He also bound 15 of their adversaries and was going to kill them, but Herod obtained their pardon.
Okay. So you see, the past alliances that Herod and Antipater had made with the Romans paid off. They paid off. You know, and all the disputations and complaints of the pure-blooded Judahites were in vain. Because why? Because Hyrcanus, the true king, had made alliances with Edomites.
Well, then you see the power play here where he's going to forgive his enemies.
Right.
And instead of having them killed, he says, oh, no, don't kill these men. They just made a little mistake. Now, what's that going to do psychologically to those people that were going to be put to the sword?
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be thinking, well,
yeah,
maybe this guy is not so bad. He sure has been a friend to us, kept us from being killed.
Right.
Even though we had rebelled and did stuff against him, he had mercy on us. So maybe,
Yeah.
Maybe we'll be supporters instead of adversaries now.
Yeah.
So, you know, this guy is slick now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's so slick. That's what they do.
Amen. So what we see here is Anthony, Mark Anthony, is, you know, he's going with the people who, you know, he thinks have power, and they do. Thanks to Hyrcanus giving the power over to them, what choice does he have? The complaints of the people, including the priesthood, are ignored, and the Edomite Jews retain power in Mark Antony's favor. Okay? Paragraph 2. Yet did not these men continue quiet when they were come back, but 1,000 of the Judeans came to Tyre to meet him there, whither the report was that he would come. But Antony was corrupted by the money which Herod and his brother had given him. So much for all the promises. Right? So it was all talk. It was all
money.
Nice talk.
Money.
And so he gave order to the governor of the place to punish the Judahite ambassadors who were for making innovations, according to him, and to settle the government upon Herod. But Herod went out hastily to them, and Hyrcanus was with him, for they stood upon the shore before the city. And he charged them to go their ways, because great mischiefs would befall them if they went on with their accusation. Okay, you better shut up, or, you know, you're going to have a bad accident. It's too late. We've got control of the country. Better go home and be quiet. Right? So, in other words...
Shut up and lie down.
Yeah, right? They became Judeo-Christians. All right? Don't complain. Something bad might happen to you. Okay. But they did not acquiesce, whereupon the Romans ran upon them with their daggers and slew some and wounded more of them, and the rest fled away and went home and lay still in great consternation as American patriots are biding their time and gnashing their teeth in anticipation of liberating our country from Jewish control. And when the people made a clamor against Herod, Antony was so provoked at it that he slew the prisoners. So, again, the Jewish technique of playing both sides against each other. Okay.
Yep. Very effective.
Very
Still
effective.
Works today.
Very effective.
Still works today.
You can see it perfectly working right here. Perfectly. Okay, paragraph 3. We have about 8 minutes left. Do you want to tackle it? It's kind of long, but...
What do we got here? We have less than 8 minutes, and we've got
this
bumper
is a fairly...
music to play, and... Let me flip the page here. Doggone it, pages are stuck. I'm not gonna get it in.
It's a long paragraph. Yeah.
It's a long one. Yeah.
Okay.
So I'll mark that. We'll start chapter 13, paragraph 3 next week.
Right.
Boy, this is neat stuff. This is really a lot of intrigue here.
Yeah.
They'd have to make a TV series do a movie about this. This would be a thriller, diller, killer, chiller.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be like, what was that one doggone
Dallas.
TV series?
Dallas,
yeah.
Right?
Who killed J.R.?
Yeah,
who shot
right.
J.R.? Yeah. Then he turns out not to be dead.
Right, yeah.
Oh, man.
He faked his own death, right? And then one of the characters.
Well, how many fake deaths, you know? How many fake deaths have we had in this country? Their guys just want to disappear.
Yeah.
So they fake their own death.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Guys don't want to disappear, and they don't get to fake their own death.
right.
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
But this is too much fun. This is a neat series, and I am enjoying it, and you're enjoying it, and I think the audience is enjoying it by the comments that we're getting.
Yeah.
So, hey, you know, we've got all our little broadcasting glitches fixed, and we can go live again. And the only thing Eli has to do is increase the volume on the bumper music.
Right. Still working on that.
Normal. But the voices are fine.
Yes.
And it's always a pleasure, folks. These are exciting times and somewhat crazy times.
Yep, just like Herod and Antipater.
Very similar to what we're reading in Josephus now with all the intrigue. A lot of the same stuff is going on behind the scenes with different names. But all the bribing and the murdering and if you don't do what I say, I'm going to tie you to the railroad track. Yeah. And then the train started coming.
Yeah, you'll be Arkansas-ed, just like the two boys who were literally tied to the railroad track in Arkansas, Mena, Arkansas, and murdered.
Okay.
By Clinton, by Bill Clinton, who was actually in league with George H.W. Bush in bringing drugs into the country from various places.
They had an airport down there. Was it Mena?
Yep,
Mena Airport.
Mena, Arkansas, right.
And then the bodyguards got killed and just, it was...
Yeah. Yeah, and many of these people were actually working for Bill Clinton. They were state employees, like one was a cop. And he reported he would drive Bill Clinton in the middle of the night to various prostitutes. Don't tell me Hillary wasn't aware of that, right? This
was
a marriage of convenience.
Well, around with the other, because she's a lesbian.
Right. Jezebel.
And hello, Israelite one. I see your, name in the chat room. Howdy, howdy, howdy. And so, Mr. Kim and Swamp Fox and all the rest, we've got a big presence in
Pastor
the chat.
Don, yeah.
People are enjoying these reads here because they're so informative. And we got Andy coming up.
Mm-hmm.
He's coming up next, and then Saxon Creed, and then VOCI, and then a word study with Brother Hebert. That's a new one. I got all that loaded up in the server, and we're all... We're good to go, guys.
David James.
A little busy boy taking care of business for EFR.
Yeah, and Pastor Martins has relocated, and his Skype account is up and running again. We had a glitchless show last Sunday because he had to and then, of course, he had an update. Once whenever you move and start everything up, then a million updates take place before you can broadcast, right? And so he got caught right in the middle of that on one of the shows, and he couldn't do the show because everything was updating.
We got somebody new in there, Pastor Don Hunt. Good afternoon or morning here, sir.
Thank you, Pastor Hunt.
Thank you for the comment. Appreciate that.
Yeah. So what we're seeing here is this history recounted by Josephus, who was a pure-blooded Judahite, not an Edomite Jew. Okay, he is telling it like it is, except with the exception that he has to be politically correct so as not to offend whatever the dictator of the Roman Empire happens to be.
He had to be careful that he wouldn't have a terrible accident.
Yes.
Like getting stabbed 57 times on the beach.
Yeah, right? Yeah. So... they're paying me to kill him. I might as well enjoy it. Right?
Yeah, what the
okay.
heck?
Yeah, right. Yeah. So, yeah, this is a kind of intrigue, and nobody talks about this. The mainstream historians don't want to talk about this stuff either, because they don't want you to know the true history of Israel, who the Parthians were, who Romans were in league. They don't want you to know any of this stuff.
They don't want you to know that Rome was the Zerah branch of Judah.
Right? They want you to believe
these are all Israelites.
That one of the three wise men was a black.
Rome? The Edomites rebelled against Rome,
right?
And the Romans came in as part of Israel, and they destroyed Jerusalem.
Yes.
And plowed it.
Yes.
And that fake wall they have over there, that's not the wall of the temple. The temple was not up there. It was in a different location.
Right.
It was totally destroyed.
That's
just something that the Talmudists have made up.
Yes. The Parthians were Israelites. They're the ones who were the so-called wise men. There were three wise men. They assumed there were only three because there are three presents. No.
Right. Hey, we only got a couple of seconds.
Yeah,
you
there's a whole army.
Music, brother.
Yeah, there was a
play
whole army of Parthians. Why didn't
play
I tell
the
you that?
Bumper music.
All
bumper
right, brother.
Music.
Will do. Yes, sir. Click.
Oh,
thanks for listening.
Fun.
Thanks for listening, folks. Praise Yahweh, pass the ammunition. Stay tuned for Andy.